Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I'll just read it out loud. You can follow along silently. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, that man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Let's pray. Lord, teach us again today, Lord, the lessons you teach us in the midst of pain, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trial and difficulty. And Lord, help us not to see you as a God who doesn't care, but help us to see you as the God who is there and caring for us all the way. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. The first 12 are reviews, so let me just read those briefly to you. Tough times teaching God's loving lessons through pain. That implies that God allows things to happen, troublesome things at times, so that he can teach us things. Number one, God expects us to do what he tells us. God expects us to do what he tells us. God commands us things for a reason. Number two explains that reason. God commands us for our benefit. He told the Israelites so that they might live. That's a good thing. Multiply. He talks about that later in the passage, but that's good too. And also to go in and possess the land of promise so that they could get all of what God had promised them. Now, I don't believe our promises are the same as those promised to Israel, but I believe that is true. God commands us things so that we may benefit by them. Number three, God expects us to remember His past presence. God has worked before, and He wants us to remember that. He mentions to the Israelites that He has been there with them all those 40 years in the wilderness. God is with us, and we need to remember that as we go through the tough times that we do. Number four, God is present even in times of chastening. This is one of the most profound things that I remember that captured my heart when I was reading through this passage several years ago. It says, the Lord led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. If God sends you to the wilderness, He goes there with you. I didn't share this last week, but this is a good illustration. I went in the military for 40 years, and I had the opportunity to go to jump school. One thing that amazed you about the leaders in parachute school were the black hats were the leaders. They wore black hats. But oftentimes, prior to that, in basic training or in my radio training, if the group was in trouble, they'd drop you for push-ups. That's pretty easy to do. Get down and give me 10 or 20 or 40 or whatever. The difference in the black hats is if they ever dropped you for push-ups, they dropped too. They did the push-ups when you did the push-ups. Needless to say, you respected them highly, and needless to say, they had arms the size of your legs. But that impressed you because anyone can drop you for push-ups. But God is like a black hat in that when He takes you through something, He's there with you too. His presence is always there. Number five, God is not in a hurry when He chastens us. Understand that God does not believe in the instant. He spent 40 years chastening the nation Israel. 40 years. And He's not afraid to spend 40 years of your life to get you where He thinks you need to be. Would He prefer that you walk with Him now? Oh, yes. But He's more than loving to take all the time that is necessary to get your attention, to get you to walk with Him. God is not in a hurry. He's interested in the final result. Number six, God's chastening is always with one or more purposes. God doesn't always tell us why we're going through hard times, but here He told the Israelites, and understand that God has reasons for what He has you go through. Even if you can't yourself determine what that piece of the puzzle is, understand that God does not waste your pain. Number seven, God will chasten us to test our obedience, whether or not we're truly wanting to walk with Him. He knows it. It's more to show us where we really are. It's a heart thing. God will let us go through tough times to help us see that, well, I guess there's a little more God needs to do in my life before I get there. Or maybe even a lot. Number eight, God will chasten us to humble us. We'll talk a little bit more about that today. But we have a tendency to count on ourselves, to center life on ourselves, and to depend upon ourselves. And God takes us to a point where we say, God, I guess You are my only hope. The session I was going to bring next hour, which we're going to wait and do next week, now, I think that's what God does with tragedies, at least in part, like the 9/11 stuff. I don't think it's because God doesn't care. I think it's because He does care that He allows things like that to happen. There was another earthquake this week in Canada. large. I don't remember what it was. I don't know if it was off the coast or in Canada. But does God allow that stuff to happen because he's mean? I think it's just the opposite. I think he's trying to get us to say, you know what? After all of our preparations, the only hope we have is God. All that we can do, whether it's bank accounts or earthquake-proof buildings or having an excellent exercise regimen to keep us healthy, our true and only hope is God himself. And that's what he does. He allows us to go through difficulties to say, you know what, I really need you. And I'm not the center of the universe, you are. Number 9, God chastens us with deprivation and difficulty. God allows us to suffer need and difficulty, trouble, need, and what's the word we used last week? Do you remember? For the kids, I don't know. I don't remember what it was. Just so he can help us to see. Those are his tools. Deprivation, not getting what you feel you need. And difficulty, the life has the bumps and challenges and even dangers so that we learn. I've heard many times that pastors will share that, you know what, you grow way more deeply in the valleys than you do on the mountaintops. I don't know why that is, but it's true. It's when you're facing difficulty or deprivation, that's when you get to know God a lot better. And so God loves you enough and loves me enough to allow us to go through that. Number 10, God sometimes allows a problem so that he can be the obvious solution. He let them go hungry. That's amazing. He let all these people go hungry so that he could provide for them with manna for 40 years supernaturally. He lets us go hungry. We have a different view of God to say, no, my God should always give me everything I want and everything I need. And God says, no, you need to need so that you can see me, so that you can see me provide for you, to care for you or whatever. You can see my supernatural solution that only I can produce. Number 11, God has a lesson for every problem or pain. There's something there to teach us in every problem or pain. Notice here he says that he might make you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That's what it wasn't their ability to produce food. I don't think they produced food for 40 years. It wasn't their strength or whatever. It was God providing for them. And he did it in a way that it was obvious that God was providing for them. Number 12, God teaches us to trust his word, not our eyes. In other words, it's not what we can see that makes a difference. We talked about the nation of Israel as they fled Egypt and went to the Red Sea. And all of a sudden they're like, whoa, this is the wrong way. And God said, no, it's perfectly fine. And, you know, they started complaining and wanted to go back to Egypt. And God says, just hang tight, will you? And he lets them walk across the Red Sea on dry ground. Probably almost 3 million people without getting their feet wet. And then God destroys the most powerful army of that day by closing in the sea around them. What did they do? Nothing. They just obeyed God in spite of themselves at times. But God teaches us to trust his word, not our eyes. It's not, the scientific term is empiricism, the fact that what you can sense. God says your senses do not encompass my ability. Okay? Trust God's word, not your eyes. Okay, let's get to verse 4 now. And this is number 13. We have a total of 22, so we're adding 10 more today to the 12 we just reviewed from last week. Verse 4 says, your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Number 13, God provides faithfully in chastening. God provides faithfully in chastening. I guess you don't have a word to fill out there. That's good, I guess. Isn't it interesting that God sent the nation Israel into the wilderness to discipline them? They refused to go into the promised land. 40 years. Their clothes did not wear out. Now, some of you that have raised children know that sometimes 40 minutes is pretty long for some brand new set of jeans to not get ripped or whatever. 40 years. Their clothes did not wear out. Now, God doesn't promise that to anybody. He didn't even promise it to them. He just made it happen. As he took them through the discipline necessary for that whole generation to die, remember? But also all of their descendants that were in the wilderness, he still took care of them in a physical way. Instead of providing some way to get new clothes, he just kept the old clothes from wearing out. God can do different things different ways. Also, it says their feet did not swell. He even helped them as they, can you imagine walking through the wilderness, how if you're on your feet all day, your feet swell. And if you're constantly walking, they even get bigger. God protected their health in that way. Okay? Amazing. It's supernatural provision for them. Even in chastening, God cares for us. Now, that does not mean he will give you everything you want. But he will give you everything that he feels that you need. One of my favorite illustrations of this is a missionary by the name of Darlene Diebler. I've shared this illustration before, but it was amazing. She was in Singapore, wasn't it, hon? Singapore? During the World War II, the Japanese took over. They captured the Philippines. They captured Singapore. They were ruthless. She had just gotten married to her husband, went overseas as a married couple, and it was like right after that happened, the Japanese captured him and sent them off to concentration camps. The ladies all go to this one. The men all go to this one. She never saw her husband again. Okay, he died. He led several people to the Lord in the concentration camp. She was able to go back and see his grave. But she was at a ladies' concentration camp for 7 years. Some of the worst conditions that you can imagine as far as just sanitary and all that. The Japanese didn't care. If you understood their mentality back then, if you were captured, you were considered less than human, and so they treated them that way. You know, real people would kill themselves or whatever instead of allowing them to be captured. But she, in the midst of all this, served the Lord in all the little tiny things that would happen or whatever. But every now and then, someone would get hauled off to a prison and they'd never see him again. She'd pray, even for the camp commandant, the Japanese leader, she would pray for him every day. Finally, it came her turn. They would just, it was kind of like the Japanese Gestapo, but like 6.5 years into it, they came and got her and took her to the place where no one ever came back from. Thought she was going to die. She was in this prison, in this cell, couldn't even go outside. It was terrible to the point where she was just miserable, and she says, "God, this doesn't make any sense to me. I'm honoring you, but here I am, frail, feeble." And then one day she peeked out, and somehow she could see out into the courtyard where they let the prisoners walk. They didn't let her go out there, but she could peek. Somehow she saw it, and she saw someone hand a prisoner a banana through the fence. Now, how many had a banana recently? You know, in the last month or something. Okay, a banana. You don't think anything about it. You can have a banana whenever you want. She hadn't had a banana in 7 years. So she started craving that because her food was just terrible. the food that she got. And she started complaining to God in this isolated cell and says, God, you're unfair. You do not take care of your own. And if you were the God that you say you are, then you would give me a banana. She wasn't praying for freedom, clean clothes, or non-tattered clothes. A banana. God answered her prayer the next day. Remember that commandant that she prayed for? He brought her an entire bunch of bananas. It was like 70-some bananas. Out of the sky blue. He had never visited her ever. Never visited her past that time. But that day, he came in and he gave strict orders that all of these bananas are for her alone. And that helped her understand that, you know what? God is here with me and He does provide. And He was giving me all that I needed. And it wasn't a lack of His ability at all. And He just wanted her to know that. I mean, it was totally so out of character for this whole situation and the commandant and everything. And then for her to have, I think it was like 72 bananas all for herself. So she again understood, and she confessed to the Lord, I'm sorry, I know I'm here for a reason. Okay? So God provides faithfully in the midst of chasing. He'll give you maybe no bananas, you know what I mean? But the idea is He knows what you need and He'll provide whatever you need. So God provides faithfully in chasing. Verse 5, you should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. God chastens because He cares about you as a father. God chastens because He cares about you as a father. Do you know that He allows you to go through tough times, through pain, through difficulty, not because He doesn't care, but because He does. I put it in our notes. It's just the opposite of the way we see it, isn't it? If something bad goes wrong, the first thing we do is look to God and say, God, don't you care? God does just that. He allows this because He is our loving Father who cares for us enough to allow us to learn what we need to by going through that. God chastens because He cares about you as a father. Oftentimes we'll ask, God, if I'm following you, why has this happened to me? And He goes, precisely because you're following me. If time would permit, we could go through the several places where the idea is God loves those He chastens. You see it in Proverbs chapter 3. For sure you see it in Hebrews chapter 12. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Okay, so understand that is proof or evidence that He cares about you, that He allows you to go through deprivation and difficulty. God chastens because He cares about you as a father. Number 15 here, verse 5 says, therefore you shall keep the commands of the Lord your God to walk in His ways and to fear Him. Number 15, God has specific habits. Habits is the word there. And I use the word habits because discipline is too long for the kids. But He is trying to form in you. God is trying to form habits or disciplines in your life. He says, I want you to keep the commandments so that you will walk in His ways and fear Him. That covers both what we do and why we do it. What we do to walk in His ways, those are our actions. And then to fear Him, that's our informed attitude. To understand why we do it is we fear God because He's the biggest. He's our Creator. He's our Savior. He's our Master. And therefore, we serve Him no matter what. God has specific habits He is trying to form in you. So he allows you to go through difficulty. He allows you to go through need or deprivation for that reason. He wants to grow you, to mature you. Verses 7 through 9, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Now God wanted them to go to this place. Sounded like a pretty nice place. By the way, it was already there for them. All the crops were planted, all the houses were built, and so on. They moved in, so to speak. Number 16, God wants you to enjoy, let me read that again. God wants you to enjoy His blessings. God wants you to enjoy His blessings. That's what He wants. Now, God hasn't promised us land, but He certainly has promised us blessings. You can start out, and I've listed them in my notes, and just off the top of your head, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. Genesis 1:28. Psalm 1, 1 through 6, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Matthew 5, we named one of our daughters after this word. All the Beatitudes, the blessed are the poor in spirit, so they shall see God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The Beatitudes. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to obey Him. He allows you to go through suffering and difficulty so that you will be what? Help me. Blessed, right? And then you look in the Old Testament. God said there's cursings and blessings. You follow me, I'll bless you. You don't follow me, I'll curse you. Now those are to the nation Israel, but God is that same God. He doesn't take people not following Him lightly, and I think the United States of America is feeling that today. God wants you to enjoy His blessings. Verse 10, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Now this one, He tells them, I'm going to give you this land and it's really good. But He says, when you get there, and you're full, you're satisfied. Man, you've arrived. I want you to bless me. I want you to acknowledge me. Or here, God wants and deserves credit for your successes. That's really what it is. And even though we're talking about a physical land that the Israelites went to, when we arrive, whether it's our attainment at a position, at a job, or an educational goal, or financial success in some measured way or whatever, guess who deserves the credit? God does. He allowed you to be here in the United States of America. You have no idea what you have here unless you've traveled someplace else and realize you have no idea what you have here. The freedom, even the within the scope of the evil in the United States of America, we have a system of law that protects you at night in a way that other countries do not have. You can go to bed without your gun by your side. There's lots of places in the world you cannot do that. They live in fear. God has given you that. Do you bless Him for that? Do you give him credit for, look what I've done, all the things I've accomplished? Do you give him credit? By the way, he brings that out next. God wants and deserves credit for your successes because guess what? He is the one who enables you to do all of that. He is the one that gave you the circumstances, the conditions to do that. I thank God today that I wasn't born in Iran, where I may have never heard the gospel, where I may have been under oppression by a Muslim regime. Whatever the case might be, you can go over and over again, the difficulties, the troubles. I'm glad I wasn't in Singapore during World War II. God deserves credit. Now listen here, he goes into detail now and warns them. Look at the first word in verse 11. What is it? Beware. Like, all of this God does for you. Why? Because he wants you to enjoy his blessings. But beware. Let me read this passage again here. Beware that you do not forget the Lord. You might want to underline that. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, when your herds and flocks multiply, your 401k is huge, or whatever you want to say, your silver and gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, remember it's a heart issue ultimately. Then you say in your heart, when things are going good, and you say in your heart, my power, you might want to circle the word my power and the might of my hand, there's another my to circle, have gained me this wealth. We have a tendency to give ourselves way too much credit. And God, no credit for what he accomplishes in us and through us. We look at all that we do and we say, wow, I'm one of the most wonderful people I've ever met. And I get to see you every day in the mirror. How wonderful. And we start thinking that way. Maybe we don't say it in those terms, but we like, you know what? It's kind of like King Nebuchadnezzar. He looks out and says, look at what I have done. So God said, no, I think 7 years living as an animal will kind of correct that perspective for you, Nebuchadnezzar. Even the greatest king at the time, the greatest empire of all, God says, no, that would be me also. Because you can't do anything without me. Number 18, lesson number 18. God knows that it takes maturity and vigilance to handle success. You know what? You will fall away from God when you get comfortable unless you are mature and vigilant. That means you're always on guard. You will drift from the Lord when you get comfortable unless you are mature and you are vigilant. You are always on guard. Fullness. You get spiritually lazy because I'm happy. Ease, so that we have all this time to do all of these things called entertainment or whatever the case might be. And it's like, oh, so God doesn't get my time. Peace. We have a tendency to forget God when we don't think we have any enemies. Wealth. Again, we have so much. How many like rice? You like rice? I like rice. I do. But if you live in Vietnam and you plant your own rice and you harvest your own rice, and guess what? You eat only rice all year round. What would you think of that? What if you had rice two meals in a row? Wouldn't that be kind of, wow. Right? They eat rice all the... Do you eat rice three times a day? See, from a rice lover, that's not so bad. But what if you didn't have anything to put... Do you put anything in your rice? Yeah, okay. Annie's in the Philippines. Rice goes with life there. So. But what if that's all you had? You had nothing to put in it. All of a sudden you say, wow, all of a sudden my burger, well, I had a chicken sandwich yesterday at McDonald's. You know, that's a luxury. All of those things, it's easy to, well, I don't need to trust in God because I can go to McDonald's. Right? I don't need to trust in God because I can drive myself there. And you start following back and it's like, you know what? God gives you the ability to take your next breath. Remember that rich man? He said, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger. That's what I'll do. And what did he say? He said, you foolish man, tonight I will require of you your soul. It doesn't matter how much you have. God is still the one that you need to rely upon. I'm going to use another term in a couple points here, so I'll move on. But we have to be careful. Lesson 19. God knows that our hearts tend to factor Him out. That is our natural tendency. Our natural tendency is to be drawn away from God. Our natural tendency is to forget God. Look at, I listed some of what He said here in this big paragraph. We have a tendency to forget God. We have a tendency to forget God's work, what He has done for us, or even in the past, starting at creation onward. We have a tendency to forget God's deliverance. What Moses brought up here was their deliverance from Egypt. But if you're saved, God has delivered you. Do you forget what God has done for you, that apart from His gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, you will spend an eternity in the lake of fire? Do you forget that? Is that no big deal to you? We have a tendency to forget God's provision. That God provides everything from the pumping heart that we have no control over to the unconscious breath that you take every moment you're here that you don't even think about unless you, oh, I am breathing, aren't I? To the oxygen in the air. We have a tendency to forget God's active teaching out of love. What He's done already in our lives. You know, He did bring you through that last trouble, remember? He brought you through that last difficulty, remember? Does that not make a difference? And we have a tendency to forget God's enablement. Because we say, my power and the power of, or the might of my hand has brought all this. Look at the next verse now, verse 18. He says, when you get there, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. He only picks out one thing, but it says, I give you the ability to do all that you do. And the word that you need to fill in there is source. God wants us to remember Him as our source. He's the one who provides everything. And again, it isn't just, you know, the the treats in the refrigerator. It's our physical existence, our physical ability, our health, our ability to think, our ability to plan, our ability to work, the ability to walk, our ability to do all these things. God is the source of that. And if I'm not mistaken, He even holds it all together. You wouldn't even exist if God quit trying. He's your source. Verse 19, then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish as the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Number 21, I probably don't say this harsh enough because that is a pretty harsh verse. God's discipline is never over. He will resume it as needed. Even if it means wiping out parts of the nation Israel, yes, He's willing to do that because you need to obey God. And God's willing to destroy nations because He is God and you need to obey God. God's discipline is never over. He's willing to resume it anytime it's needed. Now, I wanted to leave with one final phrase, and I brought it up last week so that you would remember it. But understand tough times teaching. When God allows you to go through pain or difficulty, verse 16 says, He allows that to do you good in the end. Remember God's intent for His people. His goal is your ultimate benefit. Now listen, He will not sacrifice who He is for your benefit. But you follow Him, He'll accomplish what He wants to do you good in the end. And you can count on Him as you obey Him, as you look to Him, that if God allows you to go through difficulty, God allows you to go through trouble, His intent remains the same. That He allows you to go through all those difficulties to do you good in the end. And sometimes that's very hard in the middle. But you can trust God's heart even though you cannot understand God's ways. Okay? Let me say that again. You can trust God's heart even though you can't understand God's ways. I don't understand 9/11. I don't understand why God doesn't just shout it from the mountaintops, you know, who He is, and reveal it so it's totally evident, though He does through creation, and people reject that. And in Luke 16, the rich man says, send Lazarus to my brothers so that they will believe. And he says, they have Moses and the prophets. And he said, they won't believe him. And he said, that, well, if they will not believe Moses and the prophets, they will not believe if someone rises from the dead. They have all that they need. So God has covered all the bases. Let's walk with God and trust Him in the midst of difficulty because His desire is to do us good in the end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that You would help us to walk with You on good days, good years, and in bad days and bad years. Lord, You do not promise us prosperity. You do not promise us health. You do not promise us freedom. Lord, You promise Your presence and Your provision and your loving care in the midst of difficulty. And we claim that. And whether our lives going forward are easy, or if things become even more difficult in the United States of America for those that claim your name, help us to walk with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.